Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at EricTalkStros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. And Brett is back from his semi-retirement of one day. Brett, where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros. I couldn't miss tonight because my boy Be a Genie took the mound.
Alrighty, so we have some more injuries to talk about. Yay! Yay, this is making me super excited. Not really. But Yordan Alvarez is going to be missing some time. How much time? We'll talk about that in a little bit. Alex Bregman is going to be missing a little bit of time. He left the game today, and it's never good when they basically come up lame after trying to run to a base or something like that. And the Astros did win. They did win their seventh game in a row. So there's so much to talk about on tonight's podcast. Framber Valdez, you know that I'm a big fan now of Framber Valdez. He pitched really good, and he pitched past seven innings. So there's so much to talk about on this podcast. You can get Locked On Astros on the podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast, Locked On Astros. So in this corner, you have Joe B. Genie. In this corner, you have H-Town Wheelhouse, who is his biggest hater of them all. And I've been waiting for this moment. I've been on the past few podcasts, I'm like, give me Joe Biagini. Give me Joe Biagini. And what happened tonight when Joe Biagini finally got a chance?
He couldn't find the strike zone. It was like, so Joe Biagini was driving home and someone put a home plate in his front yard. He never found his home. He never made it. So Joe Biagini was terrible tonight. And rightfully so, all the runs that were on the base that scored when Snead got up, after the one run he gave up, those two runs went to him. He's got a 36 ERA right now. He pitched one third of an inning, two hits, three runs, three earned runs, two base on balls, and one amazing strikeout. Joe Biagini is why there are 500,000 unemployed comedians. He is a comedian trying to make a baseball team. And look, again, I could never do what he does. He got to the highest level.
Hater.
Hey, you know what? Haterade. I was drinking that Haterade. Dude, my realtor was like, she like sent a text and she was like, oh my God, I bet you are beside yourself right now. And I'm like, please stop. Please. I was like, I don't want to talk. We're not talking right now.
The Astros won though. 13-6. Are you not entertained?
What else did you want?
Kyle Tucker. Tucker had a great game.
13-1. I wanted to be 13-1, not 13-6.
Why are you wasting all this energy on Joe Biagini?
Because you started it, man. You got me all riled up, and you knew I'd get all pissed off because this dude that thinks he's funny and talking about puppies and stuff when he gets here and, you know, like, how'd you get here in a car with two people after I got off the plane? It's like, okay, I don't know.
I need some puppies. Give me some puppies. I'll pitch good if you give me some puppies.
Well, here's the deal. Okay, look, maybe I'm being a little overdramatic, okay, about the whole thing. But, and someone said, well, you know, it's not a bad spot to put him in here baseball-wise because he does need to get, I mean, if he's going to be in the bullpen, he at least needs to get some work. And why not throw him in there when they're up by 10,000 runs? So, you know, I totally get it baseball wise, with all joking aside, whatever, he's on this team, he's going to get his time. We just know that he can't go in a crucial situation. Cy Snead did phenomenal, Eric. He had two strikeouts, dude. I mean, he inherited bases loaded and, you know, a couple of the runs scored, but still he got his two strikeouts and he got out of the game and kind of shut things down. But hey, I want to talk about Alex Bregman. What happened to Alex Bregman? I saw he got a hit and he was basically charging towards first and he pulled up Hasn't he had a hamstring injury before?
Yes, I do believe he's had a hamstring before, and this is something that cost him some time in 2016. But the Astros are describing it as day-to-day. I'm sure they're talking about it as discomfort, or what was the word? What's the word of 2020? Last year was discomfort. I forgot what it was. But Alex Bregman hit a double, and he limped away all the way to second base. And so he came out of the game immediately. He kind of limped to the dugout. And unfortunately, it just seems like it's something that could be major, could be minor. So this is what Dusty Baker had to say about Alex Bregman after the game. He has a strained hamstring, and he's being analyzed right now. You know, like if you're trying to analyze data and everything. But and in the morning, we'll look to see how he feels. How are you going to look to see? Oh, wait, sorry, I added look. My bad. He'll probably be sore in the morning, more sore in the morning than he is now. We all know that when you hurt yourself the night before, or you get into an accident or something, you definitely gonna hurt more the next day. But it was Alex Bregman was actually really disappointed. He said, "I want to be out there every day playing with my guys. I want to start. I was starting to feel pretty darn good." That's not the word he used, but that's why I put. I think right now, just go with it day to day, and we'll see how it feels tomorrow. Okay, I'm about to jump off this little ledge on my new desk right here with my fingers, because we're down RA Michael Brantley. Now, Yordan Alvarez, after having a clean MRI the other day, he's going to be out for the rest of the season. What the heck? This has been 2020. Is not in the Astros' favor so far, but they are on a 7-game winning streak. They're 14-10 now. You got to look at the positives, and we'll be looking at Kyle Tucker's game a little bit after the break in a little bit. But what can you tell us about Yordan Alvarez?
Well, Yordan Alvarez, obviously, I believe he had it's a UCL tear. Is it a tear? Let's see. The diagnosis was different this time in the spring training. He said, "We're not really sure when it happened." And so.
No, it wasn't a UCL. It was a torn patella tendon in his right
knee. Okay. Patella tendon. I'm sorry. MCL, UCL,
ACL.
YMCA, ACL, whatever, you know. And anterior cruciate ligament. I think that's what it's called. Doctors, you can sue me, but don't do that because I don't have any money. Basically, what happens, I think, with this is him getting surgery. Right now in a shortened season, I actually don't mind it. It's not a full season, Eric. It's not a – God, I hate saying this. How are we considering this a real baseball season anyways? Like, it's only 60 games. It's not even 100 games, and they usually pay 162. And I think the silver lining is that it's a shortened season. Who knows? Hopefully he can come back stronger, better, more fit, his knee in better shape, spring training next year. And that's my hope. With Yordan Alvarez, the dude is 6'5", and here's the problem, though. If he has knee issues now, is this something that is going to be corrected during surgery, or is this something that's going to linger? And if anybody out there that listens to this show is a doctor, is a sports medicine specialist, works on knees and things like that, let us know at Eric. At Eric Talk Stros, at me at HL Wheelhouse. Let us know, because I'm not a doctor and I can't diagnose this stuff. Eric, I just hope this isn't something that hampers him even after he comes back.
Well, I know that he's going to have the surgery sometime next week. And he is 6'5". He is somebody that's dealt with knee issues in the past. Last year, I believe it was the left knee that he fouled a ball off of, and it kind of hampered him a little bit. But he is a big guy, and the big guys have those knee issues. So this is something that apparently he's been kind of dealing with for the past couple years. I heard that he was dealing with this in Double A as well, but he was still able to hit, obviously, because he had a great season last year. So can you imagine Alvarez with two healthy knees? How many homers that guy can hit? And so Baker had to say this. The diagnosis was different this time than spring training. I think he already said that, but he said that details about how Alvarez ended up at this point are fuzzy. Baker said in recent days that Alvarez underwent an MRI that came back clean. and that Alvarez was seeking a second opinion. I believe that Baker also said that you don't always see this in an MRI, so this is just something that he went to go see a second opinion. And even James Click, as of this morning, I think it was on the Sean Salisbury show on Sports Talk 790, he basically said they don't know anything. And Dusty Baker basically broke the news on Sports Talk 790. And so the Astros seem to be in some need of some power, maybe some energy. And we'll have to talk about Kyle Tucker in a second. But speaking of energy, what's a good source of energy?
You know, a great source of energy is, it comes from our friends at Built Bar. And they have an even more delicious Built Bar. It's delicious-er. And they have some new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, apple almond crisp, carrot cake, and lemon almond cheesecake. Not only is it great for the health-conscious guy, but it also helps you lose and maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for keto diets. That's right. And the flavor profile I want to give you today is cookies and cream. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. And I know I said healthy guy. It doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl. These bars are phenomenal. I've tried them all. This is the best one, hands down. Go to BuiltBar.com. You'll use a promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your next order. You use a promo code Locked On, and that's $10 off your first order or your next order at BuiltBar.com.
All right, so let's play a game. This player today had 4 hits. He went 4 for 5. He scored 3 runs. He had 3 triples, a homer, and had 11 total bases, which is, I believe, the 10th time Astros player has done this. And this player is somebody that a lot of fans have been very critical on for the past couple seasons. But he is, according to Jeff Blum, the modern-day Evan Gattis. I totally butchered that, but that's all right. We'll just kind of roll with it. Who am I talking about?
Well, you're talking about Kyle Tucker, and I think you accidentally said 3 triples. He had 2.
2 triples, yeah.
Okay. 2 triples, a single, and a home run. And so this is what's interesting about this. And a couple of fun facts about this. This was given to us by Justin Putnell on Putt Stats on Twitter. He has... This man, I try not to butcher his at, but you guys can find him. Just look up Justin Putnell. You'll find him. He helps us out at Astros 411. So this is what he said. He had 11 total bases, and he joins Joe Morgan, Yordan Alvarez, and Carlos Correa, the only players in team history with at least 11 total bases in a single game before their 24th birthday. And another thing is for Kyle Tucker is that this team, as a team, it's the first time in team history that we've had at least 20 hits, 4 homers, and 2 triples in a game as a team. And so this was a very, very unique cycle. And I know I had seen this, and I don't know who put this up on Twitter, but the most recent game for Kyle tonight here, with the triples, the home run, and the single, it's only been done by 5 other players. Chris Coughlin in 2015, Connor Jackson in 2008, if y'all remember him, Dimitri Young in 2003, Eddie Matthews 1962, and Willie Mays in 1958. So Kyle Tucker, while we know he's been compared to Ted Williams, is in some really unique company with this stat. He looked really good at the plate tonight. The ball literally jumps off the bat in Coors Field. Can we play more games in Coors Field, Eric? Can we ask the Padres to come to Coors Field, or do we not want that with how hot Tatis Jr. is right now?
You probably don't want that. You don't want to play Tatis at all. But Chris Coughlin, if you're in the same category as him, that's like elite. And I'm being very sarcastic there.
out of all those 5 players, that's the one that I was most in shock. I was like, wow, to be compared.
Well, Connor Jackson is a little bit the same, but Dimitri Young, he had a good career. Eddie Matthews, he's had a great career. And, of course, the legendary Willie Mays. So I said 10 games, 10 players or something like that. This is what I meant to say earlier. Kyle Tucker is the first Astros to hit 2 triples in a game since Jose Altuve did it on May 17th in 2017. and it's only been done 10 times since 1983. This is rare. Good.
Hey, it was at Marlins Park, too, when Altuve did it in 2017, you trash can morons. So there were no trash cans in Marlins Park when he did this. So suck on that.
They don't have to-go trash cans? That's not a thing?
Or... No, that's – no. Have you seen how big that park is? You couldn't hear a trash can being banged. In, I mean, there are a lot of other things you can hear being banged in Miami, and they're not trash cans.
All right, well, what about that stupid fountain? Is that stupid fountain still there? I hope they took that down. That was
I don't know. I heard it broke. I heard it broke because such quotation. Bad baseball. No, I heard it broke because the bad baseball is so bad down
there. I think Derek Jeter just got mad, and he's just like, let me just get rid of this thing. So let's talk about my do we have anything else about Kyle Tucker? No. But let's talk about my boy, Framber Valdez. I guess everybody in the Astros starting rotation is my boy now. But this is who the heck is this guy? I mean, I know he kind of had a rough start in the first inning. He had that error and where he couldn't catch the ball, then he threw it away. But that's fine. He rebounded, and technically he only allowed one earned run. So apparently, Framber Valdez, according to Brian McTaggart, he is the sixth pitcher in Astros history to throw at least seven innings at Coors Field and allow one or fewer earned runs. That's impressive. I mean, Framber Valdez is doing his job, and it's just amazing watching him pitch. This is a totally different guy than he was last year. This guy has confidence. This guy is not just knowing how to strike people out, not just getting people out, but he kind of knows what basically the situation and what to throw. And it's just he's 2-2 on the season. He's threw 7 2/3 innings today. I believe his – stop making it go down screen. He has a 1.72 ERA on the season, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk, and the screen just popped back up, but I'm done talking about Framber Valdez. But he was impressive.
So here's the deal. His last inning he pitched in the 7th inning, he only threw 6 pitches. That was amazing. He only threw 6 pitches. He got 3 tired. Outs.
Well, that's the 7th inning. Okay, I'm thinking of 8th inning, sorry.
Yeah, no. 7th inning, he pitched his last full inning, I should say. He pitched 7 2/3 innings, correct? So his last full inning, the 7th inning, he only threw 6 pitches. So that was a great way to finish that last full inning. Now, another thing that we need to mention, because we had some beef when they made this move, when they brought back Taylor Jones, you know, Brandon Bailey got dropped down, then they brought up Biagini, and then Taylor Jones got brought back up. He was 2-for-5, and he actually got his first major league RBI tonight, I believe. And so that's pretty cool. So Taylor Jones got his first major league RBI. Tucker got 4 hits. Correa had 3 hits. Guess who had 2 hits tonight, Eric? Guess.
Who had 2 hits? Jose Altuve, batting second, had 2
That's right.
singles, and his batting average is all the way up to 180, OPS all the way up to 531. Also, George Springer had a homer. He was 2-for-5 as well. So was Abraham Toro. Abraham Toro and Taylor Jones will be fighting for the DH at-bats now that Alvarez is out and Brantley is still out. He may be returning sometime this weekend, but we don't really know. So these two guys are going to be fighting for the DH position, and they both put up a good show today. I think that Taylor Jones is going to get a lot of playing time because they kind of want to see what he's got because they kind of know what Abraham Toro can do, but I think they want to see what this guy can do. And he looked pretty good today. He looked pretty confident, and he didn't strike out today. That's the good thing. I mean, there weren't too many Astro strikeouts. They only had 3 strikeouts on the game. Yeah. And Maldonado had another homer. His OPS is 802. When your catcher, who's supposed to be a backup catcher somewhere, has like the 4th best OPS on the team, that really says something.
No, yeah, it does. And another great thing is Toro came in and was 2-for-3 in Bregman's spot when he took over. You know, I do notice that he has a hard time getting to ground balls that are hit to the right or to the left of him. And I don't know if that's just a lack of playing time, judging the ball. I don't know if he's playing too far up in the infield or if they're just really, really good, you know, hard hits, as I call worm burners, I'm getting through the infield, squeaking through the infield. But with that aside, when you have a ton of players getting multiple hits, this is exactly what this team needs. And, you know, we thought, okay, Yordan Alvarez is back. The offense is going to just rally around him. Maybe he just needed to be there for a couple games. Maybe he needed to be there to remind them, hey, guys, this is who we are. And you know what? A two-game stint in Colorado is not a bad way to get things started. I mean, the Rockies aren't exactly pushovers. They're now 13-11 because they've lost now three in a row to the Astros. But before this series, the Rockies were one of the better teams, better performing teams in the National League. So I like this. I like the momentum they're getting. I like Altuve hitting 180. I'm going to make a prediction that Jose Altuve is going to be hitting around 220 by the time they get off this road trip.
Breaking news. Manny Machado walks off with a grand slam to send the Padres over the Texas Rangers. So this team...
Are you serious? Yeah. Like he just hit one?
Yeah. And so the Padres won 6-3 and in the 10th inning. So we're facing a team that's pretty hot. And we know that Tatis already has 12 homers. His OPS is 1124. Machado just hit that grand slam. This team is dangerous, and we're facing them probably at the wrong time. If you look up and down the lineup, it doesn't scare you a lot, but there are some, like, some of them are having good years. Naylor's having good years.
Is he going to apologize? Is Machado going to have to apologize for his grand slam?
Well, it depends on the count. I mean, if it was a three-ball count, then maybe. I don't know.
I think we should call them the Texas Pansies because they don't come across like Rangers to me. Can we just drop the Texas off and just call them the Arlington Strangers? Let's do that. Or Team Home Depot. Or My Stadium Looks Like a Grill. I can't stand the Rangers. They've become my most hated baseball team, especially after whining and crying about hitting a 3-0 home run. Tatis Jr., this kid is on fire. I really hope that when we square off against them, that we have an answer for them, because I do not want to watch Tatis Jr. hit home runs off of Astros pitching. I don't know about you. I love the home run ball, but I do not want to watch that against our guys.
I don't think anybody does, and especially if Alex Bregman's going to be out for extended time or even a few days, that's really going to hamper them. But the Padres are actually pretty good this year, and that's something that a lot of people kind of suspected, but I think that they didn't really see Tatis kind of breaking out like he has. I know he was a top prospect, don't get me wrong, but I think that a lot of people thought he would have some growing pains, but here we are. So we'll have to see what the Astros can do versus the Padres. And we'll kind of go from there. I'm trying to find the game so I can see who's pitching. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Well, you'll have to go to I'll tell you all this as sports fans. If you're wanting to look up, ESPN does one of the best jobs when it comes to scheduling and showing who's pitching next. You will not find that on
– don't say names, but yeah – all the other sites.
Yes, you will not find that on all the other sites. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Just telling you, they do a great job. So, Eric, I can tell you real quick the rundown, what it looks like, the projected starters. Christian Javier tomorrow, excited about that. McCullers Jr., Belak, and Greinke all go against San Diego. And
win. Yeah, that's just like an 11-game winning streak there.
Well, here's the thing. We don't face Chris Paddock either. That's good. I don't want to face Paddock right now. Paddock's a stud, and he's got a mean breaking ball. But I was going to say this, a really cool kind of link I have to, like, Tatis Jr., and I don't know if I've shared this on the show or not, but I actually have a home run ball, and it's a batting practice home run ball, so it's not really a home run ball. But when I was, I believe, in seminary, I caught a batting practice home run ball from Fernando Tatis Jr.'s dad, when he was in his, I believe, second or third year when he was with the Rangers at the ballpark at Arlington, their old stadium. But I think that's pretty cool. And I really actually want to get it signed by him and his father one day. I think it would be really cool to have that. So it's kind of neat to see these players that came up in the game and now they're in the game and they're highly successful. I think this kid's got star power and he's got a bright, bright future for sure.
So I'm really glad that a certain team went out and got a high priced third baseman and they're way below 500. They're 8-16. That is the LA Angels. Unfortunately, they're not off to a great start. I know they have a good lineup, but you got to have that pitching, and they just don't have enough pitching, unfortunately. And it's just kind of weird that Boston has such a bad record, but I guess we kind of saw some signs last year. But what is up with the Orioles and being at 500 right now and the Marlins being at 500? I mean, if they can be at 500, why can't these other teams be at 500? And it just, there's some weird schedules. That means weird stuff out there. But the Dodgers are having a good season. The Cubs are having a good season. There are some good teams out there. But overall, there are a lot of players out there struggling. It's not just the Houston Astros. Well, granted, they had 20 hits tonight. But you know what I mean. Like, a lot of people keep on pointing at Jose Altuve. Just get over it, and let's just move on with things. So, guys, hopefully we can get this last game against the Rockies and then go off to San Diego and hopefully hit some homers. And Alex Bregman just says, oh, yeah, I'm good. You don't have to worry about me. But Alvarez being out of this lineup for the rest of the year is a big blow. But we'll have to see what Taylor Jones can do or maybe Abraham Toro. But I know Michael Brantley. He doesn't mind playing DH every once in a while, but I believe that he's one of those guys that likes to be in the game at all times. So we'll have to see what happens. But that's all we got for tonight's Locked On Astros podcast. Make sure you check us out every day. We talk about the Astros, sometimes other teams, but mostly the Astros. And if you really want some baseball talk, go listen to our friend Sully over at the Locked On MLB podcast. And have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.